means that cleansing by the washing of water by the word, cleansing by the washing of water by the word, we find, or at least this correlative way, sanctification. And the washing of water by the word, surely the cleansing which marks off the church of God from the other side.
This use of the term sanctified is obvious in 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man purge himself from thee, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Vessel unto honor, sanctified. Meet for the master's use. And of course, all the teaching of the good word, which are the fruit of the Spirit, which is the believer is sanctified in this life. He's thinking of the service unto which believers are called. And in order to the rendering of that service, believers are vessels unto honor, meet for the master's guilt, prepared unto every good work, but not only so, they're also sanctified. And so this sanctified, if we are cleansed, this sanctified, much preference, quality, confession, are these other qualities or possessions mentioned in the Gospel. It is most likely that Paul is using the term sanctified in that same sense in which it appears according to the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 20:32 and Acts 26:18. No, I have given you the reason and the opinion to you of the word and the action. And the action is the word sanctified. But you find the same in you of the correspondence, he has talked, and he has longed to the equivalent of our term sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but in sanctification. He has called us in uncleanness, but in sanctification. That means that as we
Are you not hearing that, sir?
Not
right.
What?
Is that caterpillar? The way in which we believer if you describe. Acts 15:9. And as we find already Paul in Ephesians 5:26, and he is the same verse with reference to the initial cleansing, that is the fruit of Christ's love. Hebrews 9:14. The same term. The same term is applied to the purifying of the conscience effected by the blood of Christ. Same as implied in Hebrews 10:2. And in Hebrews 1:3. Now, there's a purification of which these passages speak. Must refer to that radical change that occurs at the inception of the believer's life and by which they are fitted for that which they are appointed in the good work. There is, of course, some evidence that should be appealed to, but this evidence is sufficient to show that the language of sanctification is used to designate some decisive action which occurs at the inception of the Christian life. And as one that characterizes the people of God in their identity as effectually called by God's grace. Hence it would be a deflection from biblical patterns of thought to think of sanctification solely in the progressive work.
That's
sin has reigned in death, even so my grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Never be misled by the chapter divisions in the Bible, which is the connection. And purely supplement device and necessary for communion or prophecy, but don't ever be misled by thinking that these chapter divisions are unison of. When you take into account what Paul says in Romans 5, 20 and 21, the inference might seem to be, let us continue to sin in order that the grace of God may be all the more magnified. That is the seeming necessary inference. But when the found is Christmas overwhelmed, and it is actually true that the greater the sin is, the greater the grace of God is magnified in deliverance from us. But the infant, let us therefore continue to that is involved indeed there is grace.
Referred to in the 215 verse. We died. So we have to ask the question, then why does this mean we died? One answer is the key to the whole question. Now, Paul is here using the language of what we call psychophysical death. That's the number one with which we are all so familiar. And he is applying the implications of that analogy, the implications of psychophysical death, to the realm of the traditional relationship with which he is dealing. This is not fair. When a person dies, this person is no longer active in the sphere or realm in reference to which he dies. No longer active in that realm. And those who still live in that realm, in reference to which he has died, have no longer any communications with him. He is no longer on the call with Larry B. Now the scripture, of course, has very eloquent ways of bringing that fact of our experience to our attention. Scripture doesn't think it's a purpose to impress upon us that simple fact of our experience. And so, remember you read, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away as though he was not. He has spoken, he could not be pardoned. Psalm 37 describes it. I thought it would not be found. Likewise, in Psalm 103, verses 15 and 16, as for man, his days are as grass, the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind carries over it, and it is flung. The person who does things
sin or to sin, then he can act in the realm. Fear is life conductivity. On the other hand, the person who has died to sin no longer lives in that. Translated into a new realm of fear, of life and action. And this is the dissolution of his old relationship. He is translated into the kingdom of righteousness and holiness. And if you accept the truth in this religious realm, as it is in the phenomenal realm, those who still live in pain can say with reference to that person who has died of sin,
and death to sin.
real sin, he says, is that the temple. And real sin means the service of sinless bondservants. Means the sin reigns in our mortal body. Obedience is rendered to the lusts of sin. We present our members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, as the bond servants to uncleanness. We are free, that is footloose, in respect of righteousness. Sin has dominion over us. We are under law. These are the various ways which he describes. Now you come to death, truth, and you see the conflict. Death, truth. It seems that the old man has been crucified. The old man has been crucified. The body of sin has been destroyed. We no longer serve sin. We are justified from sin, that is discharged from the veil of sin. We are alive to Godness and we live to Him. Sin no longer reigns. We present ourselves to God and our members as instruments of righteousness to God. We are under the reign of grace. We render obedience from the heart to the pattern of Christian teaching. Truth is unto holiness.
Let us doctrine appear.
is not worthy. And you have this very same comment in the Apostle Peter's
more clearly than for us. The best that would not exist.